phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. Subject line, Milton equals...
what this says.
Milton equals pimp. Rick, let me get this straight. No pun intended. Uncle Milty had a cast made of his member a good 10 years before the plaster casters of Chicago started in on that action. My question, how is the staff member able to keep Milt at attention while mixing the plaster? Did they use the fluffing method, do you think? And his son wanting the cast, that's just gross. That's completely true. Like, what kind of a son wants a cast of it? I don't mean to dwell on Milton Berle's penis. I'm just saying, what kind of a son, like, of all the things your dad could leave behind for you in the will, like your dad's got a Benz, your dad's got a particularly nice set of golf clubs, you know, your dad's got, like, a home in the Andes, or your dad's got, I don't know, some objects of art that you might want. Like, of all the things your dad could possibly leave you, especially when he's a wealthy celebrity, why would you want a plaster cast of your dad's penis? I mean, even if it is a foot long. And that seems like the type of thing that's just going to scare women, don't you think? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a woman. I'm just saying, isn't that the sort of thing that's going to repel about 80% of the dates you're going to meet at the average?
Yeah, that's too close of an attachment to your father.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that it's like, I think that it unnerved people.
Doesn't that just kind of oversell the genealogy of the whole thing?
Well, I'm just saying, I think it's best not to dwell on the business of Milton Berle's sexual member. I'm just saying, it just seems odd. Anyway, it's 1-800-7... Let's not talk about it. It's 1-800-727-5955 and 503-250-1080. Coming up this hour, we got a holiday edition, a New Year's edition of How Chicks Think with Julie from the front desk. A year-end top five. Later on, Clyde Lewis is going to be here for News at Ground Zero. By the way, can I just say this? I'm going to start a movement now. You know that every year is like Year of the Snake, Year of the Fire Ant, Year of the Banana Slug or whatever. 2003... Year of the Clyde. I'm saying it right now. I'm calling it, baby. Because, you know, we got that John Poindexter agency going to be rooting through everybody's garbage. We're going to go to war against Iraq. They're going to be tracking every single purchase you make. Year 2003 is the year of the Clyde. I'm calling it now.
What was 2002?
2002 was the year of the...
Eminem.
I don't know. Yes, the year of the pimp. The year of the Mac, yo. That's what that was all about. Oh, but real quickly, before we go to Tim, I just got to make this, because I don't want to leave this hanging. So has anybody seen the preview for Dumb and Dumberer other than me?
I've seen the preview.
Okay.
I've seen it too.
Okay, now you know that, and I don't want to get too specific about this because it's, you know, we did family entertainment and all. But there was only one other person in the theater who snickered at the tagline for the movie, which is an obvious and somewhat heavy-handed pornography reference.
Are you going to tell us what it is?
I am. So I say the last time I saw this film was when South Park had the, you know, South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, which Matt Stone says is the name of a gay porn film, which they chose specifically to sort of subvert the dominant paradigm, as it were, when it came to the MPAA. So the tagline for Dumb and Dumber is, they're young, fun, and full of dumb, which is stunningly similar to a series of porn films whose first few words are young, fun, and full of a certain...
Fun?
No. But it sounds like that.
Dumb?
It sounds...
Fun?
These are all good guesses, and they're all things that I'm not going to clarify. But it's an obvious reference to this line of porn films that just, you know... It's either one of those things that the MPAA either didn't notice or that they noticed and let slide, but I'm thinking that they were just so out of touch they had no idea what was being slipped in under their noses, so to speak. And there was one guy. So here's me watching Lord of the Rings, and they go, they're young, fun, and full of dumb. And I kind of, if you'd seen me, I kind of pulled back from the screen a little bit, and I was like, what? And one guy about three rows back goes, full of dumb.
Wait, so did yours actually have a preview? Because mine just showed the title of the movie.
No, I got a full, like, 35-second trailer for it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even see that.
So anyway, so there's only, like, me and one other guy in the world who noticed that, but I noticed it. Here's Tim Riley in the KSK Newsroom. Joke successful.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
And this news is brought to you by WB32. Portland Wrestling is back this Saturday night at 11 o'clock at WB32. Watch the historic return of Portland Wrestling this Saturday night at 11 o'clock on Portland's WB32. A 14-year-old Aloha boy who has the mentality of an 8-year-old is missing. His mother says Jonathan Moore is developmentally challenged. Apparently, he left home on his bike because he was upset about being grounded. He's been missing since 4 o'clock yesterday.
How old is he?
14, with the mind of an 8-year-old.
All right.
He doesn't know his own address, doesn't know his phone number, and he's easily swayed.
Oh, please, I knew my phone number when I was 8.
But this 8-year-old doesn't.
When I was 8 years old...
You're lucky you don't have mental problems. Well, you might. Not diagnosed, I'm afraid.
Bipolar. You're the one... Rick, is you bipolar? You're the one who says that to me like every other day.
Okay, Dallin.
Don't push me, woman.
And the mother says, if someone says, "Hi, little boy, why don't you come with me and have a cookie?" he'd probably go along. He's 5'2", 100 pounds, short blonde hair, blue eyes. He has braces. Last seen wearing a black hooded sweatshirt, black cargo pants, and black sneakers. He's on a silver mountain bike. Call Washington County Sheriff's if you see him around. A Medford man in hot water after confusing a swan with a goose and shooting the bird. It happened in a wildlife refuge. But Oregon State Police and Charles Walton ended up cooking his own goose when he admitted he didn't have a hunting license. And Walton is a convicted felon killing swans.
I thought geese and swans were the same thing.
No, a swan has a very long neck.
Okay.
A goose has kind of a long neck.
All right.
The 31-year-old has been released in protective custody. He was charged with unlawfully taking protective game, hunting without a license, and being a felon in possession of a firearm. According to state police, swan can't be hunted, and hunters must have a license and state and federal waterfowl stamps to hunt for anything in those grounds. Then we have the Salem police officer needing 19 stitches on his face after his own canine colleague bit him.
Nope.
Uh-oh. Robert Urwick was treated and released yesterday. There's that name again. This guy's alive, though. Even though he's bitten by a dog. It happened when Urwick and Ivan, the police dog, were searching for a suspect under a van. The officer was crouching next to the van when he was attacked by his own dog. The dog mistook him for being a criminal.
It's because he's a dog. People are always... Did you ever notice that people are always amazed when their animal does, especially if it's a dog? People are always stunned when their dog, like, whizzes on the rug or it takes a dump somewhere that he's not supposed to. It's a dog. It's got a brain the size of a walnut. You know what I mean? I mean, your dog basically has the mentality of a really dumb 4-year-old. The idea that your dog, these people, oh, my dog followed me home. He found us over 3,500. No, he didn't. Your dog can't even remember where the door is most of the time. He's a dog.
Some dogs are smarter than
others. No, I'm just saying, I'm surprised dogs don't go... Here's a perfect example. My mom's boyfriend has gotten... This is not about dogs, but about cats. My mom's boyfriend has got this huge fish tank, and then in the house with the fish... The fish tank has got an open top, by the way. There's no lid on it. So he's got this huge fish tank, and he's got 9 different cats. And he's supposedly... Now, he's allegedly trained the cats not to go fishing in the fish tank. He's like, no, I've taught the kids, from the day they were kittens, I've taught them not to go fishing around in the tank for food. But, of course, what does he do? As soon as he leaves the room, the cats are in there just eating that stuff like they were old people at a grandma's buffet. You know why? Brain's got a brain the size of a pea inside that cat's head. So,
oh, look, it's New Year's Eve in Russia already in Moscow. Fireworks. People didn't know if it was a normal day of just killings like in Stalin's time, so they kind of just stood there and stared at it. They're hoping things get better in Russia from however bad they are. I guess they're cutting up pieces of garden hose and selling them as sausages today. So, what's Juliana Margulies up to these days, you ask? The actress who left ER at the peak of its popularity says she's not working on anything right now, but thanks for asking.
This is the first time in 9 years I haven't had work, so usually I just want to be home because I'm always traveling. So I'm going to Paris for New Year's. And I'm so excited. I love cold weather. I love being in a city in the winter.
Why do we care about this? Why are we
and
talking about it?
French
she loves cold weather.
In the world, and
swell.
Paris is one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
I like Triscuits a lot. You don't hear them. People come and interview me about it.
Well, I see you're learning the French language, Juliana.
I'm taking French again. I have a tutor twice a week.
Very good.
I think the way you have, I mean, I have the tapes and all that, but it comes back quickly. I mean, once you've known the language, it comes back. It's such a beautiful language.
So I take it you love Paris in the winter.
The French don't care who you are. No one stares at you. You just get to see them.
They hate Americans.
I was going to say, yeah, French don't care who you are at all. As long as you wear a big Canadian flag on your backpack.
As long as you're flashing dollar bills.
I know more people, man, that have gone to Paris, and as soon as they get, and they say they'll never again identify themselves as Americans. You just get everything but spat on in the streets. And Canadian people never get it. I don't know what it is. Canadian people never get screwed with. So if you're going over to Europe, you're going over something like that, just like on your back, stitch a big Canadian flag, and they'll treat you like you're a lot better than you're an American.
Anyway, showers decreasing today, showers tonight, and rain tomorrow. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
All right, it's 503-250 alternating in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow, we have a live... Are we doing some game of something?
The Rose Bowl.
Sporting event tomorrow?
The Rose Bowl.
Yes, our team made it to the Rose Bowl.
Is that football?
I think
Washington State Cougars.
Whatever. So it's tomorrow.
I think it's the Portland Fire and somebody.
I don't know. Is it tomorrow at like 1 or something?
Yeah, 1-ish.
All right. So we'll
the pregame starts at 1.
Okay.
So we'll be finished by 10.
We'll be doing the... well, did you ever watch football and it's like this...
There's 5 seconds of action and 10 commercials in a row.
2 minutes left and so like 6 hours later they're just finally
going to... How do you bring me another beer?
Overtime, yeah. So, they ought to manufacture a type of those, like, Depends undergarments just for dudes who watch a lot of football, don't want to get out of the chair and miss Nelly at the halftime show. You know, you're just putting away a lot of that Meister brow, just have the whiz right there in your armchair. Anyway, so, but tomorrow we'll be doing, we'll be here live for the new news hour tomorrow. At least all of us will. All of us except for Tim, who doesn't care about you, the listeners, because he's a selfish weasel.
Well, I wanted to give Mark the opportunity to make a little money in the new year.
That's okay. You get the car.
The little money I make.
You get the car and he gets the cash.
Right. As it should be.
Later on this hour, Jolie will be here with a holiday edition of How Chicks Think. We'll also have the year-end top five coming up later on. Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Dave, and by the way, don't go into... In just a second, I'm going to display for you the worst holiday gift that's ever been given by anybody. Dave, you're a full-time listener in Battleground. What's up, man?
Hey, man.
What you got?
Well, I got three comments for you. Well,
yes.
First one was the random drug testing on the student athletes in the Dalles.
Yeah.
Come on, they can't even find real drugs in the Dalles.
Yeah, no, in the Dalles, I mean, that's why you got to go to the hardware store and sniff a bunch of Krylon paint.
Exactly. And the other one was they can't even get the professional athletes cleaned up. You know, they flunk them constantly.
Right.
And the other, last but not least, I was watching this about a year and a half ago, maybe two, and they had like a 15-second thing they barked out saying random drug testing does not deter people from using drugs.
And that seemed to draw the curtain down on that. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-737-5955. To Dave and Battleground. I was distracted there for a second because I got this email subject line we did today. Milton Berle's penis, which I'm not going to read at this point. All these people are fascinated now. They're emailing me. I get all these people, and they're all dudes, by the way, emailing me asking me if I've got pictures of the cast of Milton Berle's male member, which, no. That'd be no for me on that.
This is completely reminding me of A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, completely.
Ceramic
penis. Huge ceramic. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-737-5955. I mean, all this stuff to get to later on. We got the top five. We got Jolie, who's going to be here. Clyde's going to be here for News at Ground Zero. And don't forget, while we're talking about this, so tomorrow we're going to be here for the live new news hour, and then Thursday and Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., our very own Sarah, our little girl's going out on her own for the first time. Thursday from 7 to 9 a.m. and Friday from 7 to 9 a.m., you'll be able to see the lovely Sarah Dillon doing helicopter traffic reports on Channel 12.
Actually, it's not just 7 to 9. I found out this morning. It's from 5 to 9.
Yeah,
I have to be there by like 4.
What can you see at 5 in the morning?
I don't know. You have to sit in the helicopter and pretend like you're up in the air.
What do you...
you can watch the ODOT cameras like you can now.
What time do you... Well, so you're going to be up in a helicopter looking at a camera of something that you can't see anymore.
No, I'm talking about when I'm on the ground. When I'm up in the air, I'm going to be looking at the traffic.
So how do you get to get out of bed for that?
God, I don't know. About 3:34. I'm
going to
be looking at the Hillsborough
Airport. And then she
has to drive all the way
back here, and then she has to run this stupid show because Matt's gone on Friday at least.
This is the most stressful week of my life, I think.
Oh, I'm sure we can top it later on.
I'm sure you can.
Wait till the next listener party rolls around. Can we talk about stressful weeks for a moment? Can I just tell you that this is, the 31st, and not this Saturday, but a week from this Saturday, the Tim Riley Factor is supposed to play this whole gig at the Satyricon. You know what I'm talking about? This thing
in a week?
Well, your boyfriend's band is going to be there. I thought you ought to know about it. Did we talk about this before? It's next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but a week from this coming Saturday. There's supposed to be 800 Octane, Porn Star, Janitor, Barbarella, Dry County Crooks. And we're supposed to play, too. And, of course, we have nothing. We have Bupkis. We haven't rehearsed. We haven't practiced.
Is Christina going to come back?
No, because she's in band. Like, she's going to come back for this, huh?
Oh, she might want to.
Hon, I know we're working for Jesus, but can I go back to play sinful rock music in a bar and hang out with Rick? I'm sure that'll go over well with John. Because John's such a big proponent of her spending time in my immediate vicinity anyway. So, no, that's not going to work out. So you, of course, will be stepping in to fill in for Christina on the keyboard.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so...
Are you serious?
That'll go over well with your boyfriend.
Yeah, we can play a show together.
Take it up in the helicopter and practice.
Yeah. Okay.
We are very unbalanced at that. All right, well, anyway. So we got all this stuff to get to, and I don't even... The thing is, I don't even like to talk about it. I don't even like to think about this whole thing come up on the 11th, because we have nothing. We have less than nothing. We don't even have a full band anymore. We only knew a song and a half to begin with, and the keyboard player, Christina, was responsible for all the backbone of Inagata DeVita, and she's gone, so we can't even play that. So basically, we've got one bad song and a drum solo. That's what we've got. That's what we've got that we're able to play. And they want us to do like a whole like mini set at the thing, which is next Saturday, which is not... I mean, I can go MC it. I can go and be zany and kooky and introduce the rock and roll for the kids. But there's just no, I just don't even see how in the name of sweet Christ on a sidecar we're going to be able to actually perform next week. I mean,
aside from everything else, we're going to have band practice.
Well, yeah, which is like, and tonight's New Year's Eve, tomorrow's New Year's Day. That gives us 7 days in which to get together and rehearse. And that's really going to whip us into shape. That's going to be a regular rock and roll boot camp. We're all going to be ready to rock after that. Jesus. All right. But let me just talk. Can I talk to you for a second about the worst Christmas gift that's ever been given by anybody? And this is not from anybody in my family. This was given to my girlfriend, Lara. She went home, and her parents are like old school, giving the bad Christmas presents. How this happens to you, but at some point, parents just give up, and they start giving you cash. Like, that's what my mom does now. My mom, God bless her heart, knows that she's not really able to, you know, stay in touch with what I need or what I want. And so every year she'll give us a gift, and then she'll just kind of compensate for the rest with cash. So she just slid me the green this Christmas. And then she also made us, she got us some kind of bed, you know, like a comforter and some bed sheets, you know, like linens or whatever. It was just something we can actually use and all that. Okay, so Lara goes home, and so it's the double whammy, because she's not only in Orem, which is a tiny little part of Provo, I think, in Utah. It's just the worst place on planet Earth. It's not called Kennewick, Washington. She goes home to Orem. Lara, just for the record, Lara's 29 years old, okay? She's coming up on 30 years of age. Her parents give her two things. One is a book by the prophet of the LDS Church called, she is not Mormon, she's not even Christian, she's not religious anymore. I mean, she's all but declared herself an atheist, or at least an agnostic. What do her parents give her? They give her a book, a self-help book, no less, written by the prophet of the LDS Church called Way to Be. Now, this is funny on three different levels. A, the book is written by the prophet. B, the introduction, the big selling point of the book is that it's by Steve, that the introduction is by Steve Young. And thirdly, the subtitle of the book is Way to Be, a self-help guide for teenagers and their parents. Lara's neither of those things. She is neither a teenager nor the parent of a teenager. And so it's Way to Be. And then, of course, in true, like, Stephen Covey fashion, it's broken out into 9 simple things you can do to make your life better. And they're all Way to Be. Way to Be chaste. Yeah, I think that ship has sailed, by the way. Way to Be clean, way to be tidy, way to be obedient, way to be drug-free. You just draw your own conclusions about the way to be drug-free. And so that's the first gift. Second gift I'm holding in my hand. I forgot to bring the Gordon B. Hinckley book, the prophet book. Here's the second gift her parents gave her. Sarah, you can
see this. What is that? Is that a fanny pack?
It looks just like a fanny pack, doesn't it? This is, and you can't really see this, but envision, if you will, a leopard print fanny pack. But it's not a fanny pack.
Isn't that a zipper across the top?
It is, but that's to hold the battery pack inside. The zipper across the top of this thing that looks like a fanny pack is just to hold the battery. Because what you do is, and it's got Velcro straps, you wrap this around your neck.
It gives you neck massages.
Doesn't that sound relaxing? Can't you just feel your stress melting away? Now, of course, this costs like $3.99 in a Walmart somewhere in Salt Lake City. And like all really cheap things, it doesn't actually serve to massage you or relax you. It just puts your jaw to sleep. It just puts part of your neck, like, just makes it numb. So, and then you put it on. Let me wear this now. Hold on, let me zip it back up. All right, so I'm going to...
The clasp is already broken.
You can't really see this at home. But Matt, I think, and Sarah can give you a description of what it looks like.
He looks like he's got on a whiplash collar, but it's like leopard print.
He looks like he's wearing a scarf.
It looks like I've suffered a serious neck injury, like someone has rear-ended my fist.
Oh, wait, now you put the fanny pack part in front. Looks like a bandana.
Yeah, you can hear the massaging action. So I'm now wearing around my neck this thing that looks like a leopard print whiplash neck brace. And it vibrates, and I can assure you that this is not relaxing or soothing in any way. All it does is make your neck skin itch. All it does is make you need to scratch the skin underneath your chin. There you go. There's a bit. This is when we've officially anointed this the worst Christmas gift ever, by the way. I'm going to try to see if Stacy up front can take a picture of this so I can stash it on the website so you can see later on what it looks like. It's great. All right. We'll be back. We got a top five coming up for the end of the year. Also, Jolie with a holiday edition of How Chicks Think. This is the Rick Emerson Show. See, I can no longer feel my lower lip.
It's hot. Turn it off, Rick.
Hot talk to Nettie KOTK. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here is Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
127, Tim Bradley with news, brought to you by the WB32. Portland Wrestling is back this Saturday night at 11 o'clock, WB32. Want you to watch the historic return of Portland Wrestling, Saturday night at 11 o'clock at Portland's WB32. A Montana man who legally changed his name to Jack Ass in 1997 is suing media giant Viacom, claiming its stunt-heavy gross-out TV show and movie Jackass has defamed his character. In a suit filed in Montana and posted this week on a legal website, Jackass, who said he changed his name to raise awareness about the dangers of drunk driving, claims Viacom was liable for injury to his reputation that he has built and defamation of his character he worked so hard to create. The suit seeks damages of $10 million or more. Jackass is representing himself. He's a plumber by trade. He changed his name from Bob Kraft late in 1997 as part of a personal crusade against drunk driving. A spokesman for Viacom referred calls to MTV Networks, a subsidiary that aired it. So no answer there for Jackass. Part of the Metro forecast for this afternoon, showers decreasing, then increasing tonight, and rain for tomorrow. Highs near 50. Rain on Thursday, too. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Is that what Trey was talking about with those, the new wheel rims for his ride? That kid got there, right?
Yeah, aren't those things, aren't they great? Look at those things, they're huge.
Jesus God. You can probably buy a house for what those cost. How much do those cost?
Oh, I mean, you can, right? You can bet he's probably got, you know, $2,500, $3,000, something like that.
Jesus God. How old is he?
Trey's a young guy. I mean, just
late 30s?
Yeah, I mean, he's just had his 20th year reunion, so he can't be much over, you know,
is
like
he technically
37, 38.
Is he technically in middle life yet? I mean, I'm saying chronologically.
No. This is the crisis.
If he was having a midlife crisis, he'd come home with a new vet the other day, not a new Tahoe.
I think we can all say that he's there attitudinally. What, him and Pelican get together and, yeah, look at this useless large vehicle thing I bought.
The funny thing is Trey's new Tahoe, half the size of Pelican's truck.
Well, everything is half the size of Pelican's truck, except for Milton Berle. Ho, ho, yeah, baby. Okay. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. Coming up here later on, we got a holiday edition of How Chicks Think, plus Clyde Lewis with a look back at 2002 in all that was weird and news at Ground Zero. This, however, is your top five for Tuesday.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I like to count, don't you?
But seriously, let's just bring the house down for a moment. Is there any chick anywhere that has ever slept with a guy because of the wheel rims on his car? I mean, I'm not... And Trey, God love you. I know we're boys and all. I'm not trying to bust on your ride. I'm just saying, is there any time a girl has ever said, well, I wasn't going to sleep with you, but then I saw the wheel rims on your SUV, and I decided I was just going to take my panties off right here in the janitor's closet. I mean, is that ever... Sarah?
I think it's kind of like the same thing with guys who don't have Milton Berle size.
Oh!
I think it's... Yeah.
Is it just me or did Trey just get called out by Sarah?
I'm not saying a damn thing to that.
Completely. What if you just go buy a huge Dodge Ram or something?
Oh, the hits just keep on coming. It is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And as we draw 2002 to a close, the Rick Emerson Show sifts through crap to select over... Well, we select the top five songs of 2002.
Yeah, over five. We found over four great albums this year. And I don't even know that we found five great albums. I think what this finally come down to is we had...
Let you guys put this together. Well, Tim, did you have an input in this?
No, I did not.
And we asked your ass, and you said you hadn't bought anything new for like 10 years.
At least.
Isn't that what she said this morning?
Yeah, I have not purchased any of these albums.
I mean, I didn't purchase anything either. I obtained them. But I'm just saying...
Okay, I'm a sucker, because I've purchased four out of the five on our list.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Is we were trying to... Because we had the top five selling albums of the year, and then we had the top five selling singles of the year. And then we were trying to put together what we felt were the top five sort of pop albums of 2002. And, man, it was a struggle. We got three really easily. And then Trey actually chipped in and helped us with the fourth one. And then we could never really decide on the fifth one. And so we kind of just... Pick, you know, the lesser of many evils. So anyway, let's roll with it.
Number five, the Canadian window smasher, Avril Lavigne, and Let's Go.
And I know everybody thinks we're big pussies. Everybody thinks that we're less than men for listening to this, but... You know when this song comes on the radio. You know you turn the radio up. You know during summertime you roll the windows down. You know you like it. Don't deny it. I will say, however...
Between this and Skater Boy, I mean, it's everything that... Every single that's been released is just doing really well.
They are great pop songs. I will say that this was the one that we really had to scratch on. We picked the first four albums on this list, or, you know, the other four albums on this list pretty easily. We had a lot of trouble coming up with a fifth really great album. Not just... And see, this is the other thing. Matt had a lot of albums he liked this year that nobody else liked, and then Nora Jones thing. And you
that
know,
is a great album.
I'm not disputing it. I'm saying it's not something that everybody on the show liked. We had to find five albums that everybody on the show could more or less get with.
Yeah.
It's like the Crystal Method had this remix album out this year that was really good, but I'm sure I'm the only one within the sound of my voice who even owns it. So...
I don't need to own it. I hear it every day at work.
Can I tell you, I was watching PBS the other day, and they used one of our bumpers for music. I was watching PBS, and they had this thing on Sigmund Freud. It was called Chasing the Demon, and it was about Sigmund Freud and psychoanalysis. And it was split in two halves, and the second half opened with this Crystal Method bed that we use, like, every week here. It was the weirdest thing. Had all this cognitive dissonance. Anyway, so here's Avril Lavigne.
Number four is Pink and Misunderstood.
By the way... Should be noted, this album represents the only good songs that Linda Perry has ever written. I mean, it's funny how when the entire time she was at Four Non Blondes, nobody could stand her ass, but as soon as she started working with Pink, her songs suddenly became decent. And then the video where Pink has electrical tape over her...
Did you just say Pink was in Four Non Blondes?
No. Well, Linda Perry, who produced this record and co-wrote the songs, was the woman behind Four Non Blondes.
Wasn't Pink's real name Linda as well?
I don't know.
I think it was.
I'm not sure. But Linda Perry is kind of the Svengali here. She's the person who produced this album, co-wrote it all. And Linda Perry was in Four Non Blondes, which is a band that I think everybody universally loathes. But as soon as she got with Pink, suddenly all her songs started to get a lot better. But this is the video where Pink's all nude with the fur coat, I think. Or is that Don't Let Me Get Me? I don't know. They all kind of drift together. But
that's J-Lo's Jenny on the Block video.
But you get the feeling that Pink might have sex with you and then steal all your cash and stab you. And that's kind of alluring to guys like us, I think. I speak for everybody.
You like a lot of women like that.
No, I'm just saying.
It's a common occurring theme for you.
Well, it's like I asked Big Gay Sarah one time what kind of girl she liked. And she goes, what did she say? She goes, if they steal my wallet after sex, I'm attracted to them. You know what I mean? And you get the feeling that Pink could probably do that. It's probably hawk your television, too.
But now we have number three, it's Kid Rock and Cucky.
When you get into the top three, it's hard to rank one through three here. But this is a great album by anybody's estimation. Hands down, one of the top five albums of the last few years for me. Great album, so much better than Devil with a Cause, which was a great album itself, I think.
Devil Without a Cause.
No, Devil with a Cause, I think. Devil with a Cause
Maybe it is Devil Without a
Cup. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, this is just a great, great record. I mean, absolutely top to bottom. There's not a weak track on here. And whoever would have thought to do this hip-hop, rock, metal, southern thing? I mean, I'm not a big fan of different just for its own sake, but this is pretty damn innovative. I don't think I've ever heard anything like this.
My thought, this is what Lynyrd Skynyrd would sound like today if they were still around.
This is the best southern rock record of the last 20 years, period. Because it's the only thing, I mean, there's elements here from things we've heard before. I mean, there's nothing new here, but the combination is new. Say what you want about a band like the Black Crowes, but I mean, even if you listen to the Black Crowes, God love them, but you might as well just go listen to Humble Pie. It's the same band. I've never heard anything that sounded like this record. And I think this is probably the standout track on the album, but this whole album is great. This and Midnight Train to Memphis. Picture with
Lonely
Cheryl
Road of Faith.
Lonely Road of Faith. You Never Met a Mother Quite Like Me. Lay It On Me. This album to me is a definition. There's a couple albums on this list that are instant classics. And to me, I'm saying, and it's probably not true for anybody outside this room, but for me, this is an instant classic. I mean, I don't know that he'll ever top this. If you don't like this, there's something wrong with you. You're missing a chromosome or a gene or something. You've been kicked in the head by somebody if you don't like this.
Number 2, Andrew W.K., I Get Wet.
I can say about this that I haven't said. Here's the thing about Andrew W.K. is this guy hadn't even been on the scene more than a month when he had just generated reams of publicity and an almost immediate gargantuan backlash for reasons that I can't really identify. It's one thing if you don't really like him. He's not your cup of tea. He's not your taste. It's not what you choose to listen to. But the thing with Andrew W.K. is people just weren't into it. People immediately hated it. There was absolutely, positively, definitively no middle ground on this album.
I don't deny it. I hated it when it first came out. The more I've listened to it and the more it's kind of been around, the more I've been like, all right, I was wrong when that came out. This is great.
This, for me, is the album of the year. For me, I'm saying. This is the album of the year, and it's one of the best. It is one of the top 10 albums of the last decade to me. I mean, this is the best produced record I have heard since the Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. I mean, the production on this record is just unfreaking believable, especially if you buy the CD, put it on a pair of headphones. I mean, it's flawless, and there are very few records that you can say are flawless. This record, to me, is flawless, perfect. It is without weak points, and I can't say that very many records are flawless. There are very few records that even that I love that I can point to and say they are perfect. This is one of a handful of records I own that I can say are perfect. Probably 4 or 5 other records on that list at most.
Number 1 is Eminem with the Eminem Show.
Going into the toilet after the Marshall Mathers LP because it just seems so impossible to beat. And I don't know if this does. I'm inclined to say, I'm saying for me, that I would probably still pick the Marshall Mathers LP over this, but this is it's a really, really strong third or fourth album, depending on how you look at his career. I mean, it's got this, it's got, what were we talking about yesterday? It's got Business and Without Me and Till I Collapse, which to me is the best song on the album. $300 million worth of movie tickets and records this guy sold in 1 year. One calendar year, he moved $300 million worth of stuff.
That's got to be a record.
It has to be. Well, he's... You know what I saw the other day was Purple Rain. I haven't seen Purple Rain for the longest time, for like 5, 6 years. I saw it the other day, and it's funny how we were always saying that 8 Mile came directly out of that Purple Rain niche, but... As sacrilegious as this is for someone in my age group, I really will have to say that 8 Mile is a better film, I think, than Purple Rain. And I know that's just heresy to Gen Xers, because Purple Rain is like this thing that you can... And I love Prince, I really do, but 8 Mile is the better film.
A lot of people I talked to actually didn't like 8 Mile.
Really?
I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was great.
I don't know what there is to dislike. I mean, my brother made this comment that, well, it's easy to play yourself, which, of course, is completely not true. Look how many people are funny and interesting. You know, you meet them on the street, they're hilarious. You put them on the radio, and they freeze up in front of the microphone, or you put them on television, and they freeze up. I think acting like yourself is probably harder than acting like somebody else, because, logically speaking, it's not easy to act naturally. And the fact that he pulled that off was great. And this, and he produced, by, the thing that gives this point, points to this record, is he produced so much of it himself. He didn't have Dre on board for this whole record. I mean, a lot of it was just himself. All right, we got more coming up, including How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. We will continue. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KTK. Stay there.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
And nothing is Sarah bought could be, it all had to be disqualified. You didn't buy anything later than like 1985.
No.
You bought us from 1970.
I mean, I like this music. I'm not really interested in it, though. Not interested in listening to it in my free time.
It's funny that you are suddenly now the dad, and Matt and I are the kid. No, don't you like this Eminem and this Kid Rock? No, no, no.
And that Pink Lady?
No, whatever happened to the Clash? Whatever happened to the Damned? All right, here's Sarah Dillon in the traffic.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-737-5955. Jolie's first question about the vibrating neck thing is where does it fasten? Does it fasten on your leg?
Like I said, it's the fanny pack.
I was going to say, hey, where does a fanny pack probably go over? All right. Subject line, I love Sarah. My God, you finally got someone with musical taste on your show. I was browsing your website, and I see that Sarah listed Bob Dylan as her number one. I haven't had a chance to listen to the show lately, but I will find time now. I don't know of Sarah, but I love her already. Hope you and the whole crew have a happy holiday season. That's Don.
We also quote a bunch of Bob Dylan lyrics in it.
Your dad found the time to email in.
That's funny.
Right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland on 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie on the front desk. Something you can strap to your inner thigh that makes a fucking like a buzzing noise.
Well, if the guy's not performing,
thanks.
Hey, can your New Year's resolution be to fix the to get a new song?
I'm just too lazy. This is where my hatred of the song and my sloth-like nature just come into loggerheads. You know what I mean?
No, you can't get a new song. The song sucks, but it's perfect for the spot.
Well, I can't. Somebody said that there was...
It's not the perfect song.
If somebody said there was some other song called What Girls Like or What Girls... And it's not the Waitress's song. It's some punk song called What Girls Like. But I have no idea what it is. It was by some band I hadn't heard of.
I don't think Christina Aguilera is old enough to know.
No.
What a woman wants.
All right.
You seen that new video, though?
You know,
she knows what men want.
Okay, no, but she doesn't.
It's her people. It's her people.
Can I just chime in for this on this for a moment? I am not down with the new Christina Aguilera look. Christina Aguilera, and I think Clyde summed this up perfectly, used to look sexy, and now she just looks dirty and not in a good way.
Trash.
Seriously, she just looks like you want to squeegee that grime right off of her. Like, you'd have to have sex with her while wearing some sort of a full body covering or something.
She needs to be wrung out.
Seriously.
She looked better when she was doing the whole, like, 50s beauty queen
see,
kind of thing.
See, that was a good look for her.
The Mickey Mouse Club.
And it's, yeah, not that, it's not that I don't like trashy women, because God knows I do. But she doesn't look trashy. She just looks really grimy and skanky, and I just don't find it to be attractive.
Skanky, that's
she's kind
word.
Of at that point, though, where I bet she'd steal your wallet when she got done with you.
What was that magazine where you had her with the whole thong, where she was wearing the floss?
Oh, Maxim.
Yeah.
Was she doing that?
Maxim.
Was she showing off that ass?
Yeah, when did she get an ass?
I don't know. I just...
She had implants?
Yeah, it's just like implants. These are my ass plants. Do you,
The Moulin Rouge video, she has, like, this flat boy frame, and then in the Maxim shoot, she's actually, you know, like...
It's a strange world where I find Missy Elliott more attractive than Christina Aguilera. That's all I'm saying. All right. Rick, I have a question for How Chicks Think. There's a female friend of mine who I've had a thing for years, and I've never really been sure how to pursue it. We're going to be at the same New Year's Eve party tonight, and a guy told me that I should just lean over and kiss her at the stroke of midnight. I'm sure she won't see it coming, but I'm not sure it'll have the effect that I want. How would a girl react to something like this? Happy New Year, longtime listener, Dan.
Well, Dan, a couple things. First, she could think that you're just kissing her because it's New Year's Eve and you don't have anybody else to kiss.
But you'd give her the tongue. Well, I mean, you're
Come
saying that, that sort of
you,
clarifies
you're
things.
My whole thing, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll just sit back. I'll just step off.
Yeah, that's the way I like it. Second, it could turn things a bit awkward, although it's just a kiss. It's not like you're having sex or anything, so you might not have to worry about that. But here's some hope. It could be the icebreaker that you've been looking for. So, Dan, I suggest you go for it.
But you got to make sure that at least one of you is drunk, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, at least either she's got to be drunk so that she doesn't remember it the next morning if she's horrified, or you've got to be drunk so that if she's all pissed off, you can just blame it on the alcohol.
Just keep feeding her the drinks. And then you got to kind of play on her reaction, because I don't have a lot of info, so I don't know if you're really good friends or if you've been flirting or whatever. So you kind of want to go in for the kiss, but like on the cheek a little bit and see what she gives you. Because she could give you the lips, and there you go.
Then, give you the lips.
Then possibly, well, as Rick already said, you can slip her the tongue. And then, you know, keep going from there.
Can I just tell you this, that in my experience, I think women are suckers for big, overly dramatic... Regardless of the woman, I think, in my experience in life, my 29 years on planet Earth taught me this, that the majority, and I'm speaking in generalities here, you might say speaking in broad generalities. I think as a general rule, women, as much as women may make fun of like romance novels or cheesy, pretty woman movies, that all women on some level want to live that Cinderella fantasy. All women
Definitely.
See themselves mm-hmm. as being the woman on the cover of the romance magazine whose bodice is being ripped by the Indian, you know, who's like has a buckskin shirt on and like the six pack. And so I think at the stroke of midnight, women are suckers for big, cheesy, corny stuff. It's true. And so at the stroke of midnight, if you do that sailor nurse Times Square photo where you take her and then you totally dip her all the way down, but you can't drop her. Your ass can't drop her on the floor. You got to be able to lift her back up. If you take her, drop her all the way down, plant one on her, bring her back up. If it's going to happen, she'll totally be sucker for it. If it's going to happen, it'll happen then.
But we want to make sure that there's nobody else there that she likes, because maybe she's expecting a kiss from somebody else.
Well, you got to stand by her, though. You got to sidle on up, and you got to stake her out like you're a stalker.
Feed her those drinks all night. Stay close by. Do a little, you know.
I think tequila typically works best for that, too.
Yeah, you mentioned that before a long time ago.
No, I'm just saying. Isn't that what...
Tequila works.
Don't we all agree that if you're going to get some woman just hosed, that tequila is your drink of choice?
I'm a much bigger fan of Jägermeister.
Yeah, that does the job.
Yeah, but you can't really slip a woman Jägermeister.
Oh,
she's going to notice.
Can.
Oh, you can't mask that, can
it's
you?
It's cleverly disguised with a licorice taste.
Yeah, Jäger goes down a lot smoother than tequila does.
Yeah, but you can disguise tequila easier, though, can't you?
Yeah, tequila's aroma just gives it. It doesn't matter what you pour it in turpentine, you can smell that over the turpentine.
If she's a real woman, though, you wouldn't have to slip it to her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. If you have to slip her the alcohol, she's probably not. You probably want to be with her for the long term anyway.
Like, you know, you kind of do the end around there. You start challenging her to keep up with you drink
exactly.
for drinks of the night.
Just pull out
the bottle of Jäger, man.
Pull the Karen Allen in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, you got to play dice.
Putting the shots down. No, but all women see themselves as being the Jennifer Lopez Made in Manhattan thing. Oh, and speaking of which, I don't have time to do it. All right, we got to talk about Jennifer Lopez here in a second, too. There's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie at the front desk. When we get back here, we're going to talk about Jennifer Lopez and about the revelation that no one on earth likes her. We're going to get... What's that look for? All right, we also got...